Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from the W.L. Fraley Studios in beautiful Pismo Beach, California, live from the 805, I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. Welcome once again to the online podcast that brings you all of the up-to-date info that is SenCal Pro. We are SenCal Pro Radio. I'm Jimmy Ray. You're my audience, and we are communed once again because that means it's Wednesday night. And, you know, primetime Wednesday night is the spot for SenCal Pro Radio. And tonight's episode, we got a special guest. But before we go into the special guest, you know, we get import special guests. This isn't even like normally get special guests from your own country. One thing, you know, it's cheaper on shipping to get them sent out to you. We got a guest that we had to pay extra shipping for to get them sent to us all the way from Canada. But before we go into that, I definitely want to give a shout-out to our ticket locations. That's right, the law offices of Dennis James Balsamo and Traditional Tattoo, both located in San Luis Obispo, California. You need your tickets, get them soon. They are available now online, and they will be available in printed form this Friday. What is that? It's the 24th. Very good, Jimmy Ray. You can click on a calendar button on your computer. Fantastic work. and if you want to get them online, sendcalpro.brownpapertickets.com or call us on the hotline, 805-996-0192. So happy to come back after a week's hiatus. We had, you know, quite the event go on, and if you know anything about indie pro wrestling, then you know that Cauliflower Alley Club is like the premier event of indie pro events. All the companies are there. Everybody who wants to represent themselves to other wrestling companies shows up to this event. And I mean, some of the greatest names on the indie scene were there. You know, guys that I call brothers, girls that I call sisters, but to see them in the ring as wrestlers, and to be in what one would consider dream matches you don't get to see all the time. This really is kind of our WrestleMania. You know, definitely want to give it the credit that it's deserved, because there were just nothing but hellacious matches. And it just, you know, it was great to see so many, you know, just enthused fans in the audience all there for the same. And these fans come every single year for this. Some of these people have come for, you know, the last 10 years of their lives. You know, in fact, even further. I mean, this has gone on. It was the 50th anniversary of the CAC. 50 years doing an event like that. And, you know, in 2015, it was only fitting that SenCal Pro land on the shores? I don't know if it's shores in Vegas. Vegas doesn't have any shores. Land touching ground, I guess. There's lots of ground in Vegas. Touching ground in Vegas was none other than SenCal Pro, the late edition of guests at the Cauliflower Alley Club. Now, although we were not officially there, you know, as part of the CAC event, we could not resist being there with all of our family, being there to see the amazing matches put together. You know, hats off to the booking department. They made great matches. They were very entertaining to the audience. They definitely kept it going. And on a personal note, I got to admit, it was a lot of fun. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's all I can say. But not talking about Vegas anymore. Now, you know, we moved on. Vegas is there. It was fun. It was good. We got to talk about something coming up here at SenCal. That is May 24th, our next show. Show number 2 is coming to you. And after the overwhelming support we got from fans and wrestlers alike, we had to do another show. We're going to do a lot of shows. This show is coming to you guys once again live from the Graduate, San Luis Obispo, 990 Industrial Way. I don't think there's a soul in San Luis Obispo that doesn't know where the grad's at. But if you're not in San Luis Obispo and you're listening to this show, first, let me thank you, because that's pretty rad that, you know, you're not my local syndicate. But on top of that, you got to come check out the grad. Every college town in California has a grad, a graduate. It's true. Look it up. So that is our show coming up. And if you've paid attention, if you've seen what's been going on at our last show online, paying attention to what we got going on, a band of wrestlers has come together to call themselves the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction. And in what I would like to call the Cold War of wrestling, this being, you know, superstars from several nations kind of coming together for what exactly? I mean, we've already made a stand here at SenCal, and it looks like yet again our revolution is already on our doorsteps as the Cold War kind of thin. Now, last week we had Sasha Derevko, who seems to be the leader of this, you know, this terrorist movement, if you will. Don't quote me on saying that. That was technically what audience members have referred to this as, you know, a terrorist movement, a black ops cell, if you will, from within the system. They've made a stand here. And tonight we have one of their guys, who's a part of that. But, you know, let's not even go there. I want to first, like, just bring out our guest. I mean, this guy, he's all the way from Canada. And like I said, we paid quite a bit to have this guy here. Calling Canada is not exactly cheap, especially when you're on, like, a business plan for your phone. And as it would seem, we kind of used up all our minutes calling Japan. We have a friend in Japan, Thunder Rosa. Big shout out to Thunder Rosa. It just so happens she has the hookup with Japanese toys and stuff that you can't exactly get here in the States. And so we've had to sweeten the deal and pay her thousands and thousands and thousands to get exclusive toy rights. But we can go into that some other time. Going into tonight's show, I want to bring out our guest all the way from Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Shell Hammer.
I told this guy where I was from. He said, "Oh, Canada." Kind of laughed it off. It was funny, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, Shoop, Shellhammer, Shoop. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, man.
Or Jay, or whatever the hell your name is.
You know, I get a few names.
Just kidding. It's a late night here in Canada. I'm a little tired. Yeah. Busy day.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you crossing that, you know, that meridian time barrier just to be with us here on the show. I know it's much later in Canada than it is over here in, you know, the glorious Pismo Beach. I doubt you would know where Pismo Beach is in Canada, but it's small.
Well, I did show up to your first show. I did see some of the sights. I did see Pismo Beach. It's
good.
Not as cold as Thunder Bay, but, you know, it was all right. It was okay.
Pismo Beach is a fun place, man.
Yeah.
It's a small place, but I'm glad that our tour guides here at SenCal Pro were able to take some of our Canadian and other foreign nationals kind of out for a small tour of the Central Coast. That's kind of good. They naturalized you there.
Right, right. I was a bigger fan of Morro Bay, but Pismo's okay.
Yeah. And that Morro Bay, all of Morro Bay right now is like, they're like cheering. Morro Bay just got the big shout out on Pro Wrestling Radio. Hopefully ticket sales increase in Morro Bay. I see that coming in the future.
Well, they should increase just because Shoop Shellhammer is calling and is on your show. But
that's neither here nor there. Having you on the show, that was kind of like, I was like, wow, it's Shoop Shellhammer. I've heard of this guy. You know, I don't think I've ever seen you wrestle on the Central Coast ever. I mean, it was kind of a shock to see a lot of the guys that I only see wrestle in Northern California, guys even as far up in Canada that come down and wrestle. It's amazing to see that you guys made a debut here on the Central Coast. But I think next to Sasha Derevko, I think you came maybe in Kikyo Nakamura from Japan. I guess we have to do the mileage to figure out who really came from the furthest away. But, I mean, you three, I think, definitely came from the furthest ends just to be in our show.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, Sasha got a hold of me and kind of explained to me what he wanted to do at the Sin Cal show, and I was very more than happy to be a part of such an illustrious group of individuals, people that I don't think get enough credit in this business, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, credit is certainly given where credit is due. And, you know, a lot of credit, I can tell you personally, a lot of credit from my end has gone to Wrestling Personified and Rick Luxury. And certainly I've given, credit publicly to Sasha Dreffel, even to you, Shoop. And definitely the respect of the locker room and the respect of the audience was certainly there. It's almost as though they kind of had a difference in opinions as soon as the first bell even rung. And that bell didn't even ring for a match. That bell rang because there was commotion going on in the ring. And I hate to say
right.
it, but it looked like you kind of chose a side there in the first 10 minutes of the show.
Well, like I said, Sasha got a hold of me. He told me what was going on, that he was booked for the show, that he was able to pull some strings to get me on the show. So I definitely wanted to side with the guy that I kind of have the same opinion as him as it comes to some Americans. I mean, I'm not saying all of them, but there's a good few of you that think that you guys are the top dogs of the world and that, well, your bowels don't stink. So, yeah. attacking Sledge at the start of the show, that was him getting in the face of my good friend Alexis. Or, I'm sorry, not Alexis, Sasha. If he would have just minded his own business, it probably would have gone a lot differently.
Now, in all fairness, with Sin Cal Pro just recently launching, Sledge has actually had to take somewhat of an office position, a corporate Sledge, if you will. Technically, I you won't hear me all the time sticking up for Sledge, but I got to say, Sledge technically was minding his own business in this category, seeing as though he was looking out for the good of Sin Cal Pro. That kind of was like his big hurrah. I mean, the Central Coast hadn't seen Sledge in 8 months. I mean, in fact, they were told
right.
they would never see Sledge again. I mean, the audience was sort of already had to part with the fact that they weren't going to see Sledge again. And here we are announcing Sledge is returning to the ring in the Central Coast. And within 10 minutes, it kind of seemed that his welcome fanfare back was unsummarily, shortened.
Well,
you. And
I do believe that he should have came out and said what he said. I'm happy that he's back in wrestling. He should be a wrestler. The guy hits hard, so definitely shouldn't be doing any office work, that's for sure. But I do think that the wrestling fans paid to see wrestling, not someone talking and boo-hoo, I had a problem. I mean, It was time to get the action started, and that is why myself and Sasha went out there and did what we did. The fans do not want to see what they saw. Give a couple of minutes for his little speech, fine. But it was going way too long, and like I said, the fans pay to see wrestling, not talking.
Well, then it sounds like that you and Sasha, and even Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury, even had kind of plans from the get-go, there in the end, but, well, you sort of just jumped the gun and said, you know what, F it, this is a live wire, this is a shoot, let's just do this now, and you guys kind of just came out and did what you're going to do at the end of the show, well, in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
And, it's amazing to see the connection between Canada and Russia. I know Sarah Palin somewhere is having a field day with this because she's like, I knew it. She finally, got some credence to her, to some of her propaganda. We love you, Sarah Palin. I know she listens to the show. I've actually, she writes me on Facebook and tells me she listens to the show. It's kind of an honor, but suffice to say, I know, right? I mean, our show brings all types. It really does. I didn't see Rick Luxury joining this faction. I mean, if there is anybody I think who bleeds America, and by that I mean the true capitalistic dream of this country, it's none other than wrestling personified Rick Luxury. I mean, he is literally a legend of this entire indie pro business. You can't go anywhere in California not knowing Rick Luxury. He stands alone. He is literally like the cheese in the kids' nursery rhyme. He stands alone. He stands alone. The cheese stands alone. And the cheese stood with the Axis powers. I couldn't have believed that. That was kind of a shock to me that he would side. You know, I mean, he's the ultimate bad guy. Let's put it there. But you guys kind of seem like an ultimate group of bad guys, too. And you kind of just joined together like, you know, like this weird, like, transformer of bad guys, now known as the Wrestlers of Mass Destruction.
Correct. You're right. Rick usually does stand alone. And, however, Rick being another one of my good friends and a man that I've looked up to for years as I trained underneath him for a while, I believe Rick probably saw that myself and Sasha weren't getting the recognition that we should have been. We've been on the indie scene for a while, and people just kind of look past Shoop Shellhammer and Sasha Jurevko. And who better to side with than Rick Luxury, as you said yourself, is you can't go anywhere in NorCal or SoCal without hearing about wrestling personified Rick Luxury. He's one of the best in the business, and we sided with him. There's no better person to side with.
Yeah, it's like on reality shows, you know, like Real World and Road Rules and stuff, and Big Brother, what have you. They normally wait a couple episodes before, you know, people start, exciting together and forming factions and stuff. You know, they usually, like, kind of, you know, at least play the, oh, haha, we're so cordial and I don't know you card, and, you know, milk it for a couple episodes. You guys really kind of raised the bar, episode one for SenCal, and kind of made it a name for yourself. And from what it sounds like, this Cold War faction has kind of been brewing for quite some time, seeing as though you have ties to both Sasha Derevko and Rick Luxury long before your involvement with SenCal. You know, I'm one for a conspiracy series, but, you know, I think that this was just pure coincidence. And the fact that you guys are together now and really one of the most, I would say, questionably the most dominant power right now in SenCal Pro, you guys kind of call the shots. You know, with you three being aligned with each other.
We do. You're absolutely right. That's using that American brain of yours. I'm happy that someone actually has it. But yeah.
Well, you know, that old education system
here. I'm just kidding with you. I know you're a smart guy. Yeah. Myself, Sasha, and Rick, we know each other outside the business. We have known each other outside the business for a while. And it just happened the way it happened. It couldn't happen at a better time. I mean, SenCal's first show. I mean, what better way to start it off than with a big bang like that? and now you're right. We call the shots, whether anyone likes it or not. We call the shots.
Well, I got to give you guys credit. You definitely walked into the building and kind of just, you know, you picked your spot. You picked the toughest dog in the yard. You looked him in the eye. You knocked him out. You kind of made a mess in his yard, and you made a name for yourself. And I got to say, you know, like I told Sasha, this kind of, you know, just like in a reality show, this kind of action puts a massive target on your back. And to start a company like this, people are going to remember SenCal for a long time. When they look back to the very first episode, the very first, you know, show, they're going to remember this. And this is really what sets the stage for many, many more events to come. You guys have kind of put the proverbial target on your backs, as it would seem. Any thoughts as to who you could perceive are probably going to come after your guys' mighty throne? Because a big force only brings, you know, a big opposite force. So any thoughts?
Well, you say the proverbial target. What better way of getting noticed than putting the biggest target on your back. I mean, you don't see people going after the small little sheep in the wrestling world. You see them going after the biggest and baddest people in wrestling, and that's what we did. We are the talk of SenCal Pro Wrestling. We are the greatest faction to ever grace probably the central coast of California. We are the best wrestlers there, and we are going to prove it show after show after show, starting with May 24th.
That's going to be quite the explosion come May 24th here in San Luis Obispo. And, you know, I can only imagine that there's got to be some animosity even towards, you know, the corporate structure. You know, what can I say? I'm a part of the corporate structure at SenCal, and I can imagine that there might be a few hostilities from you towards us. Now, I wouldn't blame you because, I mean, as soon as you came out, you know, you had your run-in with Sasha, got the drop on Sledge, I'm sure you probably feel like the smallest guy in the group was picked on because you were sort of thrown to the wolves later that night to the beast of a man they just call Clay.
Yeah, that was, you want to talk about conspiracy theories. There's definitely a conspiracy theory against Shoop Shellhammer. There always has been. There probably always will be because I'm not a 6'4" giant because I don't look like my first trainer, Brian Cage. They think that they could just throw me to anybody and just teach me a lesson. But the problem with that is I have a hard head and I don't learn lessons very well. So Clay Towser, he got one up on me. I think it was more of a fluke than actual talent, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, the corporate machine definitely has a thing against not just Shoop Shellhammer, but anybody that's not American in general. I mean, if you look at the great Canadian wrestlers, they're always being held down by the corporate machine, and Shoop Shellhammer is no different.
Can't argue with you there. Historically, yes. You know, it does seem that the Canadian superstars have had to work harder, almost as though like a currency exchange. Like somehow their currency, you know, they have to make more currency to equal our currency, which technically our currency is are we more expensive or less expensive in American currency? What was your exchange like when you came over here?
It was pretty ridiculous. That's all I gotta say about that.
Fair enough. Being the first, you're technically the first Canadian superstar in SenCal Pro. I mean, a lot of you guys there were a lot of firsts that we had, and you were certainly our first, you know, Canadian superstar, and still very proudly representing Canada. They had a name for you. It was, what was it? Not Canadian Messiah. I heard somebody say in the locker room it was Canadian Perfection.
It's the reflection of Canadian perfection, because that's what I am.
That's right, the reflection of Canadian perfection. Boy, if I might need a new tongue after trying to say that one. That's a mouthful. But Shoop, does anyone ever tell you you're quite the mouthful?
If there's little children listening, I don't know if that's appropriate, but yes, they have.
We've now officially just moved our rating from PG to PG-13 and are no longer eligible for a Daytime Tony Award. We're very proud of that. Yeah. Shoop, I gotta say, it's been great having you on the show, talking about your career thus far. But I've got a few questions from the fans in the audience have asked. They want to know about Kimmy. Everyone says Kimmy. What's up with Kimmy? They want to know. How's
she
doing?
Kimmy was there at the first show with me. She unfortunately was not booked, but she's very hungry to compete with SenCal Pro. She has a little difference of opinion as me. She loves the fans and she loves America and yay, America this, ha ha ha. It's whatever. I don't let it get in the way of our relationship. But Kimmy is a great talent. I would say one of the best female wrestlers in California. And I think it's time that the Central Coast gets that the Central Coast gets a taste of Kimmy Shellhammer. Of course, not a real taste, because then I'd have to whoop somebody real bad.
Yeah, they don't call you a Shellhammer for nothing. You'll hammer that shell for thinking twice on Kimmy. She was real popular with our audience. She's been still popular. She, as you said, she didn't even compete at the show, and the fans are already asking about her. So I tell you what, I know Kimmy wasn't able to be on the show tonight, but I'm going to talk to management. I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to advocate for Kimmy. I'm going to see if we can get Kimmy into a match. I can't guarantee anything. You know, being a vice president of media, I get to decide the voice and the direction of our public image. However, when it comes to the internal cards, I still have to advocate and plead and beg and hope for the best, just like everyone else. But I'll tell you what, I'm now advocating for Kimmy. Jimmy Ray advocates for Kimmy. The fans want to see Kimmy. Jimmy Ray wants to see Kimmy. I know Shoop wants to see Kimmy. We're gonna see. We're gonna hope to get Kimmy on the show. I'm gonna talk to the boys in back and be like, come on guys, what do I gotta do? I'm probably gonna have to do some pretty ridiculous stuff because they make me do that stuff anyway. But I'll probably have to do more since I'm actually asking for something this time. So it's tough.
It would definitely help the show out. Not that it needs any help anyway, but having a beautiful Canadian woman like Kimmy, part Canadian woman as Kimmy, would definitely help the image of SenCal Pro.
I'm imagining that image of SenCal Pro, and I kind of like it. I'm telling you, it works. So fans demand Kimmy. Tell SenCal Pro we want Kimmy, and SenCal Pro will make it happen. I just know it. Hashtag, we want Kimmy. Did you know that hashtags don't work on Facebook? I didn't know that. I thought that they worked everywhere. Apparently, that's just a Twitter thing.
I don't know. I don't know. The number sign thing isn't a very popular thing down here, but whatever you Americans want to do, I guess we'll catch up to you eventually.
Yeah, it's kind of those things where, you're lucky in Canada. You have this natural barrier that a lot of the crap that just gets formulated here in the United States doesn't actually make it over the border, which is kind of nice. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if Canada regards, American immigrants kind of the way that some Americans regard, say, Latino immigrants. They're coming in here and taking all of our jobs. Do you guys feel that Americans try to come to Canada just so we can take up all of your guys' free health care?
Fortunately for us, fortunately for us, you have to have a certain amount of money to get into Canada. We don't just let anybody in. So it's not as bad. Nobody's sneaking over here. Thank God. It kind of goes on the scale. Canada's up top because we're the greatest. Then it's America. You guys are in the middle there. And then Mexico's beneath you. And of course the Mexicans are going to try to sneak into America. Americans think that they rule the world, which is fine. We let you guys believe that. So nobody's really trying to sneak into Canada. But not really any Americans trying to sneak over here. Thank God.
Yeah, not yet anyways. Especially if it costs money to get into Canada. I mean, that's quite the cover charge. I mean, I can sit here. I complain when I got to pay just a couple bucks to get into one of my local bars. I'm like, really? Don't you know who I am? And they're like, no. And I'm like, of course. And, it kind of pisses me off. But imagine paying the cover charge. You go over there and get into Canada. A lot of Americans, the American way is like, hopping on the free system, finding some way of getting some larger corporate parental giant to somehow take care of all that annoying buying and paying for stuff, you know, and that's kind of like why we like to just go, you know, find the good one that's free, that, you know, that no one's got to pay for, emphasis on the free. And I think that's what's so alluring about Canada. But I think, you know, that makes sense that you guys would, you know, tariff the border like that and make, you know, Americans actually have to pay to get in. Canada kind of sounds like more fun than Disneyland. I mean, let's be honest.
It is. It's beautiful out here. Unlike some of the slums you guys have. Speaking of slums, why do the people in Las Vegas charge so much for everything over there? I was over there for Cauliflower Alley, and it seems like I got put into debt because of so much money that everything costs.
That's Vegas for you. They got that thing of a statewide, they have no taxes, so they don't charge sales tax on nothing. Yet they have but then they get you another way. It's kind of like you're illustrating here. You know, you go there, oh, it's $6 for a can of soda. And, I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, $6 for a small little thing of Coke like that, you know, a drug dealer doesn't even have the balls to charge you that much for a thing of Coke. I don't know how a vending machine can charge you that much for a can of Coke. You know what I mean? And it's like, it makes you wonder. Yeah, I think I paid like $4 for a thing of lip balm. For you know, ChapStick, it wasn't actually ChapStick because that's the name brand in America. This was lip balm, uber generic, you know, coming from, you know, oh, yeah, good stuff. You know, you pay extra for the generic here. That's the American way. And, you know, it was Subway even. You know, in America, especially here in California, we have this little, you know, little moniker song, $5 foot long. It's like this silly little lyric rhyme that they got to illustrate that they have $5 foot longs at Subway. I didn't see a single sandwich for $5 at Subway. I didn't even see, like, the half a sandwich for $5 at Subway. Like, if Subway was straight up, it was, like, $9 foot long. I was like, wow, $9 foot long. That doesn't even have, like, the fun ring to it. I didn't even sing that with the smile that I sing, you know, about the $5 foot long. You know, I still got $4 to spend on other stuff. Yeah, dude, it's really backwards over there in Las Vegas. And all I can say is please don't rate all of America based on some of the interactions you have in Las Vegas and Los Angeles, even in Sacramento and some of the Northern California territories. San Luis Obispo is a special place, as I'm sure you've kind of noticed by now, that we kind of don't take and claim any sides. We try to be cool with every single side. Some sides hate us. Can't please everyone. But we try to remain cool with everyone we can. You know, so Canadians and Latinos, you know, Russians and Japanese alike, you know, we all try to bring a stage for you guys to be and seeing you guys in Cauliflower Alley, you know, seeing you guys, I mean, it was a pleasure seeing you and Kimmy out there. I love being able to reunite, you know, with the family whenever I can. You got to admit, Cauliflower Alley kind of brings a different element. It's like sort of like one of those reality shows that they make out of, you know, wrestling superstars. You know, they don't give them a ring, lock them in a house together, put 17 cameras on them and film for 3 weeks. You know, that's what you do when you're not really in the ring, I guess, when it's pro wrestling. And so to have the antics that take place, you know, at Cauliflower Alley seemingly every year, too. I mean, there's things like you know, the strut off, there's the bologna blowout. I don't eat bologna. I can't bring myself to do that. So bologna blowout just kind of sounds like what happens after you eat a bunch of bologna. So that's kind of always scared me, but I heard that's like a super fun time. I saw clips from the strut off. That's an interesting thing every year. Couldn't make it to that one myself. Definitely, you know, whenever Jimmy Ray's in Vegas, he's got too many people to see and not enough time to get there. But all in all, just to I think you were with us. We had that stated trip to the Fremont, where I think 19 people in pro wrestling. How many pro wrestlers, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, and everyone else can you stuff into one shuttle and take downtown into Las Vegas? The answer was 19, and everyone from, you know, CJ Kurz to Bobby Hart, before they completely beat the hell out of each other just this last couple of days. With SPW, they went and did that hell of a match between those two guys. Here we all were a week before that, partying with each other, having fun. That's pro wrestling for you. 1 week we're partying, next week we've almost killed each other. And
Very true.
Have you ever tried to explain that to someone? It's really hard to explain why we all do this and put up with this. I mean, and I shouldn't even say we. Jimmy Ray doesn't have quite what it takes to step in the ring per se. Unless I'm holding a microphone. That microphone's like my special shield that, like, protects me from all the, you know, the bad stuff that happens when you guys get out and that bell rings. But to be able to be there amongst you wrestlers and see you guys kind of in a different light, that is something to go to the CAC for every year. You know, regardless if you're still in the business, regardless if you're trying to get into the business, you got to admit, we had a fun night that night, right?
It was very fun. It was different. I haven't really seen anything like that. Wrestlers, I've always told wrestlers, because people have always asked me, especially as a smaller guy, why I do it, what really drives me to do that. And I've always said that it takes a special kind of crazy to want to do this for a living. I mean, you're getting thrown onto a mat that does not feel good. And it's just, it really takes that drive and passion to want to do it. And like I said, special kind of crazy. But yeah, Fremont Street was very crazy. You, Rick Luxury, Dylan Drake, a few others. It was cool. It was good to see my fellow Canadian, Johnny Devine wrestle. I mean, it's always a pleasure to see him work. Of course, the Ballards were there. It was different. It was my very first Cauliflower Alley, and definitely going to be going back. Definitely.
Oh yeah! Did you say hi to Edge? He was hanging out in the lobby. I think it was the first night of the Cauliflower Alley festivities. He was just hanging out in the lobby, like not even like part of the show, not an exhibitor. Wasn't trying to sling any merch. Wasn't trying to do anything. He literally was just there. He was just there to hang out, there to say hi to whoever said hi back. And it was like, it's amazing to see fans still be able to go up to Sledge just to shake his hand and say thank you for all the insane memories that he gave us throughout the Attitude Era and then the coming later years of the WWE years. Edge gave us some unforgettable moments. And to have him show up just to watch. I mean, dude, Scott Hall was there. I only mark out a couple times a year, and I try to reserve that for any time I meet pop stars or anything like that. Getting to meet Scott Hall was really awesome. The fact that, like, I didn't have to walk up to him and say hi. Like, I was walking past him, and he pointed at, I had a Macho Man shirt. Got to thank my girlfriend Brittany for hooking me up with the coolest Macho Man shirt ever. Wore my Macho Man shirt that night. It's like the Daniel Bryan one that says, yeah, but it's macho, and it says, yeah, you know. Black and white, totally cool. I think, anyway. It's now officially cool because Scott Hall, like, stopped, looked at me, and said, hey, brother, sweet shirt. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, Scott Hall, Jimmy Ray, it's a pleasure to meet you. Pleasure's mine. And he walks away, and I was just like, okay, I just met Scott Hall. Like, that totally just happened. Like, wow, you know. And yeah, okay, I'll illustrate that's my markout moment. But, I mean, I think we all get into this business, like you said, for some kind of, you know, clinically insane reason that we can all agree upon. We all got into this business for the love of pro wrestling. And I think when you get to meet, you know, that old adage, being able to meet your maker is like the ultimate, you know, conquest that a person can have. So if our maker, someone that made us enjoy this business, be it Hulk Hogan, be it Scott Hall, be it anybody, you know, from any era of wrestling, whoever was our maker into the business of pro wrestling, to be able to look them in the eye, shake their hand, smile and say thank you, like, and not really, you know, feel like you got to pick their brain or toss them a DVD of your best stuff or make sure they hit you up on Facebook. Just to be able to have that moment and say thanks and just, like, to just look them in the eye and go, holy crap, they really are real. They've gone down the road and back, and they're still alive for me to say thanks. And to be able to have moments like that, I got to admit, that is probably the reason I think I even got into this crazy game of pro wrestling. It's being, you know, seeing guys like you do what you do in the ring, being guys like me afraid to do what you guys do in the ring. It's an interesting combination of love and passion. Like when you see guys work because they love it, not because they know they're getting this tremendous payout at the end that they can basically walk through their job. Or on the other token, guys not getting paid anything and not putting any love into what they do and not really getting the payouts they deserve and always hearing, well, it can't be afforded, it can't be afforded, it can't be afforded. I mean, to be able to be in the center of that, you know what I mean? To be able to give an honest, decent payout that's reasonable and to know that, you know, if we had more, we'd give you more, but we want to be able to give you what we can and to know that people give us their best for that. I mean, that truly is the heart and soul of pro wrestling. And to know that you guys give it, I personally feel that you guys give it way more than the guys on TV, because the guys on TV know that they don't have to. They're already there. As long as they stay in shape, as long as they, you know, make their spots, as long as they follow whatever, you know, calls that were made, everything will be good. You know, they just keep doing the motions. It's like being an actor. As long as you keep up on your appearance and stay within Hollywood, you'll always have a job. But it kind of, it takes away from something, I think, from the actor. Just like when an actor leaves Hollywood and goes to Broadway and is in front of a live stage for the first time. When you are in front of a live audience, that audience kind of becomes like, They're your playground. They really are, like, everything you do is going to make them go, like, they literally are, like, you're a maestro, and they're literally your orchestra to go out there and make them, they're putty in your hands. You're going to make them love you. You're going to make them hate you. You're going to make them do whatever you want them to do. And so to be able to be a part of that, whether you're a fan, whether you are part of the production team, whether you are a wrestler yourself, the spirit of indie pro really does transcend all types. And so to see everyone come together like a cauliflower, like, I mean, there's production people that I only see once a year. There are people from Arizona. Big shout out to April Pearson and everyone out there in Arizona making their way out there. A lot of folks that I only get to talk to on Facebook briefly throughout the year, but I see one time a year, you know, Christy out in Canada. So many people, you know, that it's fun to say hi to. And none of those people that I mentioned were even wrestlers. Those are all people who have been in the business four times as long as I have. And yet they still aren't wrestlers. And that, what that goes to tell me is you can be in this business your entire career and never be a wrestler. And why did the non-wrestlers do it? For the same reason the wrestlers did it. Because we fucking love it. Pardon my language. that's a bit of my my UEW roots kind of coming out right now. I don't know if you knew this, but UEW kind of claimed Jimmy Ray, and I became a commentator over at UEW, and boy, are they bringing out the potty mouth in me. I can say and do stuff over at UEW that, boy, I could never get away with over here in SenCal.
No, it's definitely different when you get to different companies. Where I started, it was more of a free range type of language barrier. Although
now,
we were performing in front of a bunch. I got my start. I started wrestling under Brian Cage. It was Main Event Wrestling in Chico, California. I had moved to California for a while. Saw Brian Cage working and kind of asked how I got into it. I really didn't know how to get into it. I knew there was independent wrestling, but as far as I knew, the closest one was Southern California. I was planning on going to UPW in Southern California. And things kind of came up, and more things came up, and more things came up. Before I knew it, I was like 3 years out of high school and not really doing anything, working some odd jobs here and there. Still preparing for when I got that chance, and met Brian Cage, and he kind of told me to come out and try it out. And it wasn't the most professional setting at first, but it was good experience. And from there, MWF kind of went under. Brian went and did his own thing. He went to Deep South Wrestling for a while and then went to Florida Championship Wrestling, now NXT, for a while. He was signed for a little bit. So I couldn't really – had to kind of find my own way.
Sure.
Picked up on some things here and there. I was very lucky to learn decipher what bad habits were and what good habits were. And
now describe that. Now, bad habits, what would you describe as a bad habit? I'm guessing you're referring to within the business, right?
Yes, yes. I don't know, off the top of my head, just working the wrong way or speaking out of turn Brian Cage always, when I first started, always said I was the perfect rookie, because maybe it was because of my shyness, because I was real shy at first. I just didn't talk, and I wasn't trying to be respectful. I mean, I'm glad I came off that way, but I wasn't trying to be respectful. I was just quiet because that's who I was, and I just kind of watched and listened and didn't talk. And Brian always said, "Oh, he's the Shook's the he's the perfect rookie. He never talks," because we had another guy out there who was trying to wrestle. He was still friends now, but he did not share that same view. He was very outgoing and he talked all the time. And he would wear shirts from WWE all the time. And if, like, I'm sure you know, in wrestling school, you're not supposed to wear any shirt. Like, you're not supposed to wear a Rock t-shirt to class. Like, a lot of wrestling schools frown upon that. And Brian was one of those people that frowned upon it and calling him a mark. And he'd get his ass kicked all the time. And there's just, but yeah, so yeah, I went from about 2004 to 2009, I was doing my own thing, working, just pretty much whoever would, book me. I wasn't really picky. I would take anything. I would take a hot dog and a handshake if it meant me getting booked on a show. I just wanted to get exposure out there. And before long, I started realizing I was working the wrong shows.
Yeah.
Really? The shows I was working weren't viewed as the companies to work. I was trying to get work with APW. I was trying to get work with Pro Championship Wrestling, PCW. I was like the main companies in California. That's what I was trying to get at. And I was ultimately trying to get somewhere where I can do this for a living. And around 2009, late 2009, I realized I'm not going to be able to work these companies if I keep doing what I'm doing. So I found the PCW work farm here in California, and I enrolled into that, even though I felt like I already knew the majority of what I was supposed to do. And enrolled into their school at, I don't even know how old I was, maybe 2010. I don't know. But basically, all I needed was a little, like, brush up on fundamentals and stuff. And now I'm working the companies I'm supposed to work. It's definitely a lot better. I feel kind of half and half on it. I feel like I'm much more professional now, the whole professional aspect of it. I have Mr. Primetime MDT and Rick Luxury to thank for that, because they both helped me a lot on that. But at the same time, I feel like there's a lot more people telling me what I can and can't do. And I think that might be where my attitude for a lot of the fans I come across as a bad guy, and I'm not a bad guy, as you were saying earlier, like, oh, we're bad guys because we beat up Sledge, or we're bad guys because we don't want you to chant USA. We're not bad guys. You people think that we're this thing that we're not, and we're just trying to do what we love. And I can't really speak for Sasha or Rick, but as someone that was born in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, my experience is there's a whole lot of people that don't want you to succeed. And being someone that's 5'9 and 180 on a good day, it's a lot harder. It's someone my size, you have to work twice as hard and twice as fast just to look even to a guy like Sledge or Clay Pauser or even Rick Luxury, for that matter. Not saying anything bad about Rick, because Rick's my boy, and I'm a great, great, great worker, one of the best. But it's definitely hard for a guy like me to get what I feel like I deserve, and I just have nothing but respect for Sasha and Rick for allowing me into this group, because I feel like this is Shoop Shellhammer's time, and SenCal Pro has no idea what they've unleashed.
Well, absolutely, and aligning yourself, you know, with the likes of Sasha Derevko and wrestling personified Rick Luxury, you guys are definitely, you've made a stand, you've made a name, and you're certainly, well, a weapon of wrestlers of mass destruction.
That's right. We are. And it's just going to continue.
I believe you. I believe you. This is going to continue, because so far, I mean, week after week, you know, we've talked about this, and no one has stood to this claim. I mean, you know, JD Horror came from the bottoms of Camp Crystal Lake just to defend his friend Sledge, and I mean, we had a feeling JD Horror was going to be. We put his face on the flyer. We put the word out. It's like, you know, for JD Horror, it's like when you conjure up JD Horror, it's like, you know, you've brought a monster up from the water. Someone's going to get it. And bringing him back to, you know, defend his friend Sledge, when last, you know, audience saw, those two weren't exactly seeing eye to eye. In fact, you know, those were the last eyes each other saw for quite some time, if you were Sledge in the ring on the Central Coast. But all things considered, you know, you handcuffed JD Horror, you incapacitated him while Sledge continued to get beaten on. We don't know if we're going to see JD Horror back again. And I mean, of course, Sledge is still here, but you know, it's 3-on-1, and so far no one has stood to stand, you know, at Sledge's side. And I'm just saying, you know, Sledge could probably take on all three at once, but I mean, there's going to be some kind of hell to pay, no pun intended, where there's going to be someone to step up. I mean, you guys, you stirred up a wasp's nest, you know, you really did. And, you know, me just being the in part of the announcer, you know, and Rick's a friend of mine, so, I mean, I can't exactly chastise you guys too terribly for your efforts here. I mean, hell, you know, I heard somebody say a long time ago, in this business, there's two ways to the top. And you know, if there's already a good guy, well, you know, there's still another train, you know, leaving for Vegas. And you guys certainly took it. We're the first ones there and established yourselves. I mean, you know, sending you to Clay to more or less, you know, be eaten alive. I mean, Clay eats people for a living. I mean, that's kind of what he does. I mean, I've seen Clay wrestle in the past, and we've seen the happy, jovial version of Clay. But the Clay that we saw at SenCal Pro was of a completely different make and model. I mean, sure, he was Clay, but not the Clay that I know. It's certainly not the Clay we've seen. And to kind of throw you to him, he was on a warpath. He was going to destroy anything in front of him that night, and I think management knew that. And, you know, that's kind of where I don't blame you for having any kind of sentiment, if you will, to put it lightly, towards, you know, management, towards us here at SenCal. And really, you know, as the announcer, I kind of just have to call it like I see it, you know, just like the referee does, just like good referee Jamie Christensen or Sparky Ballard. Definitely just got to say, you know, at this point, there's been shots fired on both sides. If whether you're Sledge and Sledge's camp, and I don't know if he technically has a camp because, well, Camp Crystal Lake was kind of, you know, taken out. I don't know if he, you know, it probably is just going to be 3-on-1. And if that happens, you know, I don't want to put like my resume in early, but just to let, you know, you guys know, if another power comes in and takes over SenCal Pro, I am for hire. So it is certainly possible to acquire my services should a new regime take over. Now, that is hypothetical, But don't forget what I said, just in
that
case.
That is so American of you, Jimmy Ray.
Oh, thank you.
All of you are just so quick to jump sides when things get hard. Like, it's like the American way. It's oh, I didn't get it right the first time, so I'm just going to quit. Things are hard. Things are too hard. 3-on-1. Yeah, it's 3-on-1. And the reason it's 3-on-1 at this moment in time is because Sledge doesn't have any friends. Sledge, to put it bluntly, Sledge is a dick. No one wants to be around Sledge. There's a reason why Sledge wasn't seen for a while. Sledge, nobody wants to see him around. No, he's just burned too many bridges, and he doesn't have any friends. So you might as well just build this 3-on-1 handicap match, and don't even put that little card subject to change thing, because nobody is going to show up to save Sledge. Not JD Horror. You can go and jump in the ring with us. Ooh. Three if you want to, but
No. Hey. Yeah, I got to draw the line somewhere.
Right. Smart. But I don't see anybody coming to Sledge's rescue. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
That is quite a perspective on that. Whether or not I can agree, obviously time will tell. But at the same time, it's one thing to say that Sledge may have pitted himself in a position where there's no one left to help him. And if that's the case, I mean, the only person Sledge is going to have in his corner, well, is the audience. And, you know, the audience can be a real powerful tag team partner. You never know. I mean, they can be almost as powerful. I mean, Shawn Michaels had got it as his tag team partner once. I mean, it's certainly possible that having a tag team partner that's not even capable of wrestling might actually help.
Yeah,
them succeed,
but
you know?
let's face it, the Central Coast fans aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer. They're not going to be able to be assistants as, say, a Canadian fan could be, but. What are the fans going to do? Are the fans going to distract me? Are they going to chant USA? They're not going to do anything. There might be one drunken idiot that might try to do something, but I would definitely advise against that.
Yeah.
Being it at the graduate. It's not gonna look good. If you are weary, if you don't like to see really gruesome violence, I would suggest closing your eyes during that match, because we're going to take Sledge out. And without Sledge there, it's us. It's Shoop Shellhammer, Sasha Jerefko, and Rick Luxury. And there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Well, you know, the matches are already put in place. Everyone who's going to be at the show already has their spot. And fortunately, as you stated, it still is a 3-on-1 at this point in time against Sledge. Now, I can imagine that the referee would allow anybody who came to the ring to help him to enter the match and become, you know, bona fide members. But at the same time, if you're right,
yeah.
If Sledge doesn't have any friends, if Sledge has actually burned all the bridges that he has and is kind of, you know, soiled his good name and not, you know, done his dues to make sure that his buds are, well, still his buds. He may be in some hot water against you guys on May 24th.
He will be.
He will be. Wow.
He will be.
There's no might
about it. He's in hot water. I mean,
well,
I don't mean to be the dick about it, but I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Well,
so,
Final Sledge,
we'll take your resume if you want to send it in.
Well, on a personal level, I do appreciate that. I'll have you talk to, we have Lindsay's on Switchboard. I'll have you talk to Lindsay after. She'll get all the info, and I'll make sure. I'll just go ahead and get the cards made now. just in case. But you know,
of course, course. Smart of
you. Yeah, it's bad. Right, right. You know, it's bad business to talk business on the air. So we'll kind of segue away from that by stating that May 24th coming up is going to be SenCal Show number 2. The Cold War of Wrestling is clearly upon us. No offense to my guests, but the oppressors in the situation clearly would be the wrestlers of mass destruction, i.e. Sasha Derevko, wrestling personified for luxury, and my guest, Shook Shellhammer. A triumvirate, if you will, a triad, some would say, a trifecta, as it might be mentioned. This group of guys has basically taken over, for lack of a more, you know, general and professional term, here in SenCal Pro. All we have is Sledge to answer this call. We don't have Jamie Horror to answer it. I mean, if you've seen the kind of matches he's been getting into over at UEW, I don't know how J.D. Horror even leaves the bottom of Camp Crystal Lake ever. He gets killed, and even though he wins, he still dies every single show. I've seen J.D. Horror die in the ring at least 5 or 6 times, and he still comes back. So even if you guys have eliminated J.D. Horror, he might not be completely away. In fact, I would never, ever, ever count out J.D. Horror, ever. But that being said, I have confirmation that he won't be at our show. He's double booked. J.D. Horror is going to be somewhere else. If that's the truth, I didn't see that written down, but if that's the truth, Sledge really is outnumbered here.
Good job.
I mean,
good job. That's some superb math skills you got there. You learned that.
Thanks.
You got some great public school systems.
Oh, don't you know it? I mean, you know, they let you be in school as long as you need to. So, I mean, whether it's like 12 years or like 15 years, it's like, take all the time you need. You know, that's the American way, you know.
Of course.
It's good.
Of course.
I did the 15, but, you know, I was what they call the super, super senior. But, I mean, it's just because I was better than everyone.
The super senior?
The super senior, yeah. The, you know, the shoot-tastic, no, I don't know. I wasn't going anywhere with that.
You got nothing.
Well,
it's okay.
Yeah, you're right. That is usually how I get when it's clear Jimmy Ray has blown all of his steam in inside and outside of the ring. I mean, as you've seen, you know, I've been, you know, in the ring with you guys close enough to see the action. I mean, I almost got dragged into that brawl that happened. I mean, granted, you know, that suit is dry clean only. You know, given to us by the good folks here at the W.L. Fraley Studios who've been hooking us up good. You know, I always got dragged into that. I got to think maybe next time I should probably have – maybe I need my own personal bodyguard and assistant. I'm thinking of, you know, she'll be blonde and she'll have a shimmering dress. That's about all I can think of at this point. But maybe I can have, like, a bodyguard just in case I get dragged into something like that again.
I do know that the only reason that you almost got dragged into it is because in that match with Sasha and Sledge, Sledge started to use a chair against Sasha when there was nothing. As far as I know, it was not a no disqualification match. And Sparky Ballard just let it happen. Just being Sparky, he's so biased when it comes to people that stand up for themselves, such as me, Rick, and Sasha. And I'm sure if Sasha used that, he would have thrown the match out. But as soon as Sledge starts using it, oh, it's all fair and game. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I did. I believe you were one of the people I turned to and said, like, what the hell? Like, why isn't Sparky throwing this match out? This isn't fair. And you can throw that in me complaining or whining, but it's not whining if it's the truth.
Well, you're right, I didn't have much of an answer for you then, and I don't really have much more of an answer here now. You know, and it's you know, let it just be known that, you know, although healthcare in the United States is what it is, unfortunately, business health plans still do not cover vision care for referees. I mean, we've been pushing for that here in the States. Obamacare is supposed to do a lot. It's still missed the vision package for referees in pro wrestling. So, I mean, every referee is wrestling.
I'm pretty sure Sparky Ballard needs glasses. I don't know what you guys need to do. If you need to, like give him a pay cut and buy glasses for him or something. But that man desperately needs some kind of thick bifocal because it's bad, real bad.
Well, you know, I can definitely mention it to Sparky and see if maybe, you know, if you've seen the eye doctor lately. And that was, I mean, they were clearly outside of the ring and past the audience. I mean, there's a lot of bright lights. I mean, our venue had nothing but LED screens completely surrounding the ring with our sponsors, you know, pictures on it and logos and stuff. You know, there's a lot of lights, a lot of mania, a lot of stuff going on. I mean, heck, even at the announce table, I could barely see what was going on over there. I mean, it is possible that although Sparky was, you know, very with it in the match, maybe he just didn't see what was going on.
Yeah, I guess so, if that's what you want to say. We'll leave it at that.
Well, needless to say, conspiracies and pro wrestling have run hand in hand for over 50 years. And it seems like the ball just keeps on rolling here at SenCal Pro. Shoop Schellhammer, thank you so much for coming to us all the way from Canada. I know it's going to be almost midnight over there now. Where can fans find out more about you?
I'm sorry?
I realize it's late, and I do apologize. We've kept you a lot longer than we promised. We, you know, we told you it was a 20-minute show. You'd be one and done. And we've gone like over an hour here in prime time.
It's all right. I'll forgive you this once.
Okay, I got one time pass. Where can fans find you? I want fans to be able to follow Shoop Schellhammer. I want them to be able to find stuff on YouTube about you. What are some keywords people can throw out there so they can find you on the internet?
I'm on Facebook at shoopshellhammer.com or facebook.com/shoopshellhammer. I'm on Twitter at shellhammertime. I know, clever.
Shellhammer time. I like it.
I believe I've got so many people running things for me. I'm pretty sure that my YouTube page is YouTube/shoopshellhammer. I could be wrong though, but just search shoopshellhammer. Of course, you could search Shoop's Bad Day on YouTube. That's always a good video to watch if you don't know who Shoop Schellhammer is. I've done a lot, and that video showcases a lot. Yeah, follow me, comment me, message me. I'm not a bad guy for a few people. If you ask me some stupid question, then don't expect a response. But I'm always open for fans' questions and comments.
It's a sign of a true professional right there. Always one for the fans. And if there's any extras, throw it out to the fans. You know, that's the way to do it. And, man, that's awesome, brother. And I got to say, I got to remain sideless in a world of sides, as it would be here in SenCal Pro. But I do appreciate your involvement with the company. I love seeing you in the ring, and I think you're an absolute credit to pro wrestling. And the fact that we were able to bring you to the Central Coast is a very proud thing for us, because we're starting to showcase talent that has deserved to wrestle here for a very long time. And giving you guys a new stage to work on, even if you guys are still plotting to destroy it, I mean, that's half the fun of pro wrestling anyways. I mean, if there wasn't somebody out gunning for your position, gunning for your job, even gunning for your life, nothing's really worth doing, if you ask me. And you know, all things considered, having you guys here, you know, at SenCal Pro makes all that much of a difference. So allow me to say on behalf of the staff at SenCal Pro, thank you very much for your involvement in our company.
Of course. And just to make one thing clear, we're not trying to destroy anything, because if we destroyed SenCal Pro, then we wouldn't have a paycheck. We're just simply trying to make it better.
Trying to make it better. When in history have I heard of a group of people claiming they weren't trying to destroy the grounds that held them in efforts to make it better? I don't know. Just Just pondering there, and fans, you can ponder that one,
I don't know what you're talking about, but all right. I haven't the faintest idea.
Well,
but
I have a feeling.
Thank you for the kind words. I do appreciate it. I do know a compliment when I hear one, so thank you. And I will
absolutely.
Be there.
And, you know, honestly, the fans, I've seen wrestling fans for a long time. Wrestling fans don't always get behind the quote-unquote good guy. A lot of the times, the fans seem to go behind the rule-breaking bad guys. And I won't be surprised if after this show, if after the next SenCal show, that there aren't new Shoop Shellhammer fans out there, and people are going to say, well, how dare you like them? They tried to destroy SenCal Pro, and their answer is going to be, no, they're trying to make it better. And this is going to have this group of fans that are, I don't know, they're going to be blood hungry, and I don't know if they're going to truly rip us apart when we're not looking, but I think you guys are going to get fans one way or another here at SenCal. And I personally, like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing your next match.
Definitely. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, fans, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of SenCal Pro Radio. And, you know, this one was titled From Canada with Love, and I truly believe that we here in America were showered with Canadian love all hour. And if you've never had a Canadian love shower, you haven't lived and you haven't been to a SenCal Pro party before. That's just the God honest truth, people. But for Shoop Shellhammer, for me, Jimmy Ray, for all of SenCal Pro, thank you guys so much for tuning in. And tune in next week when we do this all over again. Say goodbye, Shoop.
Good night, Shoop.